Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. The full confession of Alex Murdaugh to the murder-suicide scheme playing out in court in a phone conference and a phone admission. This is something that, very interestingly enough, the defense of Alex Murdaugh did not want to have played in court. The judge even said, cool, we don't have to go down that road. And then they walked right up to the line, started making references to Cousin Eddie, which is quite literally just hilarious in its own right that there's someone named Cousin Eddie in this case, because it couldn't be more of a circus as it is already. And the judge said, you know what? You're bringing this guy up. You're bringing up all, like, you can't do that and then us not give the jury context as to what the hell you're talking about. So it's now been played in court for the jury. And now you have the pleasure of listening to Alex Murdaugh's full confession to planning and attempting to carry out a murder-suicide scheme for insurance money. Take a listen. It's a long one, by the way. About 45 minutes. Here we go.
A telephone conference interview of Alex Murdaugh, 9/13/21.
Whose voice is that?
It's Joe Marelbe Elden.
Was he present with you when you conducted this interview?
Yes, he was.
Jim.
Hey, Jim, this is Brian Kelly and Joe Marelbe Elden with SLED. How are you?
Hey, Brian and Joe.
Yes.
We're in an office over here in Atlanta with Alec and Dick, and I'm just gonna put the phone here on the table next to Alec and turn it over to you guys. Well, let me start, Ryan. First of all, we only have about 30 to 40 minutes before we have to get out of here, okay?
Okay, no problem, sir. Sorry about that. You caught me. I was halfway to Somerville, so I had to turn around and get into a place where...
And I'm sorry, but we were late getting here to see Alec, and once we got in here, we had to have a long discussion.
Okay.
If it's official, I'd like to walk him through some questions, which will then allow you to question him, but give you some sort of, rather than just sort of wandering around.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, before we get started, can we just have, for the purpose of our notes, you know, obviously we prefer not to do telephone interviews. This is how y'all requested, so obviously, you know, we don't really have a choice. But we just I'm going to need Alex to identify himself, you know, on the call, and you know, basically what we do is I'm going to ask him his date of birth and the last four of his social.
Okay, go ahead.
Alex, just go.
Hello.
Alex, give me your full name.
Okay, Richard Alexander Murdaugh.
Okay, and what's your date of birth?
My date of birth is May 27, 1968.
Last four of your social.
7483.
Okay. And I understand, you know, obviously this is a unique situation conducting this this interview over the phone. We need to, obviously you've been receiving some treatment. So our, you know, just for the overall, you know, sake of your competency to be giving us information, are you right now, you know, sound body and sound mind?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you talking to us willingly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Dick, Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so let me say for the record, this attorney, Jim Griffin, and Dick Arbuckle are here. We've spent the last hour talking to him. We believe that he is a sound mind and body, and that he understands, and that he is in no way diminished capacity.
Okay. So
he is perfectly competent to answer these questions. Now, we've advised him, we're going to talk about the shooting incident a week ago Saturday, where he was shot in the head, and how that happened.
Okay.
And why it was done.
Okay.
We don't want to talk about what happened in Moselle, and we don't want to talk about anything involving finances at the law firm. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, Alex, let's talk about last Saturday morning, and let me go through this briefly. Who did you meet with and talk to last Saturday morning?
I met with Jim Griffin and Chief Chessie.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
Anthony and I met with Chris Wilson at my mom's house.
Okay. And you and Chris were talking about what?
About everything I had done.
Okay, everything you had done concerning finances.
Finances, bills, lies.
Okay. Now, were you taking, well, first of all, let me back up for just a second. Have you had a long-standing OxyContin or opioid addiction issue?
Yes, sir.
How many years?
The best I can remember, around 20 years, 18 to 20 years.
Okay. Now, on this particular day, on this Saturday, were you taking the OxyContin or taking any opioids?
I had taken some, but, you know, I was taking, I'd given it all that I had someone else. And I'd taken some at like 4 a.m., so I was having some withdrawals.
Okay. And the previous day, the news had come out about your embezzling or taking client money or law firm money. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how would you describe your state of mind at that time?
I was in a very bad place.
What does that mean?
I thought it would be better for me not to be here anymore.
What do you mean by not be here anymore?
I thought that it would make it easier on my family for me to be dead.
And easier with some financial gain to your family if you were dead?
I have a fair amount of life insurance debt.
Do you remember how much?
Not off the top of my head, but like $10 million, $12 million.
Okay. And so you decided to end your life?
That's correct.
And tell these sweat agents how you went about arranging that.
I called Curtis Eddie Smith on the telephone.
Okay, now let's stop for a second. Who is Curtis Eddie Smith?
Curtis Eddie Smith is the primary person who I purchased bills from for years.
And some weeks you would give him how much money for bills?
I mean, it would be in my records, but we had weeks where there would be $40,000, $50,000, $60,000.
That you would give him for pills?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you've known him for how long?
Years.
Years. So, did you call him that morning?
Yes, sir, I did.
That day? About what time?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I asked him to...
Was it after you met with Jim Griffin?
It was after I met with Jim Griffin.
After you met with Chris Wilson?
I believe so.
Okay, and when you called him, what did you ask him?
I asked him to meet me.
And did he meet you?
He did.
Where did he meet you?
He met me, out not too far from my mom's house.
Where?
He was on the side of the road. I think at the funeral home.
At the funeral home. Okay, and did y'all talk?
Not there. He followed me into town.
To where?
To over where I stopped by the Sunoco gas station.
Okay, did y'all have a discussion there?
Yes, sir.
Did y'all get out of your cars or was just in your vehicle?
I don't think we got out of our cars.
And what vehicle were you in?
I was in my wife's Mercedes.
And what was he in?
He was in a gray pickup truck.
Okay. And what did y'all discuss?
I told him that things were getting ready to get really bad and that I would be better off not here. And I asked him to shoot me.
And you asked him to shoot you?
That's correct.
And what was his response?
I mean, I think at first he surprised. But then he said, okay.
Did you tell him where you wanted him to shoot you?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you tell him you wanted him to shoot you?
In the head.
And did you tell him how you were going to arrange that? What was going to be the logistics of that?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I told him to follow me out and that I would make a flat tire and he would go past me and turn around and come back and do it.
And did he follow you out?
He did.
Now, where did you get the gun?
I gave it to him.
Where did you give it to him?
We stopped somewhere on Saucahatchee Road, I believe.
Did y'all have a discussion there, or did you just give him the gun?
We didn't have much discussion.
When you say much, was there any discussion?
I'm not sure. I was worried about cars coming, and so it was a very fast thing.
You gave him what kind of weapon did you give him?
A revolver pistol.
What caliber?
38.
Okay, and that was your gun?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so he followed you out to where?
Saucahatchee Road.
Okay, and did you pull off the road?
Yes, sir.
And he pulled off the road, what did you do?
I stopped, made my tire flat.
How'd you make your tire flat?
With a knife.
Whose knife?
Mine.
What did you do with the knife after you made your tire flat?
Threw it.
Which tire?
Back driver's side.
Back driver's side. You threw it where?
Across the road.
Across the road?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Was it woods over there, a ditch, or do you know?
Just some grass, like thick grass.
Okay. And after you did that, he passed you? Or did he pass you as you were doing that?
I think that he had already passed me and was in front of me and went down the road, turned around and come back.
Now, when he was coming back, you had given him a pistol. What was your intent?
For him to kill me.
Okay. And when he came back, did he stop? Did he pull up? Do you know?
He did.
And when he pulled up, did you look in his face?
I don't think so.
So what happened next?
I stood close to his car.
And?
He shot me.
Where did he shoot you?
He missed and hit me in the very back of the head.
Okay. And as a result of being hit in the back of the head, did that have any physical effect on you?
It did.
What happened?
I lost my vision for a little bit, and I'm not sure if it knocked me to the ground or not, but I was disoriented, and it took me like a minute and a half, 2 minutes for my sight to come back.
And do you remember him driving off? Did you hear him drive off? Drive off?
I'm not sure.
Okay, now after you came to your senses, did your vision come back?
It came back.
Okay, and what's the first time you remember somebody else being there?
I remember there were two cars that came, and one of them did a stop, and one of them did stop.
And the one that stopped, what did they do?
They tried to help me.
In what way?
In getting me to the, in every way that, first we got in, and they were crowded in their car. There was some reason why their car was crowded, and I'm not sure what that was, but so the young lady got in my car and was going to drive me to the hospital, and I just wasn't thinking about the flat tire, and so we had to get out of that, and then they worked it out somehow for me to be able to get in their car in the front passenger seat.
Okay, so and you got in the front passenger seat. Where did they take you?
To meet the ambulance.
Now, were you on 911? Did you call 911?
Yes, sir.
Did you tell them somebody shot you?
Yes, sir.
So, that's right.
At my request.
So, your intent was to have him kill you so he could collect the life insurance, right?
So my son could. I mean, I knew I was about to lose everything, and I figured he's better off that way then, dealing with me.
Now this gentleman that shot you, give me his name again.
Curtis Eddie Smith.
What kind of vehicle was he driving?
Gray truck.
Okay, and I'm it's probably not relevant, but I'm intrigued by the fact, how long was it, have you ever discussed with him before killing you? Oh, you committed suicide?
No, sir.
How long did it transpire between the time you asked him to
shoot you in the head on the side of the road, and he actually shot you in the head on the side of the road.
When I first asked him, we were at the Sunoco station in Barnville.
How long after that did he actually shoot you in the head?
However long it takes to drive from there to Talkatchee Road.
More than a half an hour?
I don't think so.
Did he ever ask you to reconsider or say, things aren't that bad? Did he ever, you know, try to convince you to do otherwise?
No, sir.
You find that strength?
I didn't, you know. I was focused on...
Focused on what?
On being gone.
So that's all the questions I have, but I tried to lay it out as expeditiously as possible, but he'll be happy to answer any other questions. Any additional questions, again, I'm
okay.
Frank, interviewer, so y'all have at it. We've got about another 20 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Hey, let me ask you this. Y'all recording this, aren't you?
Yes, sir, we are.
Okay, good.
So, Alex, so how long have you known Curtis Smith?
Ryan, Officer Kelly, before we start, I just want to tell you, I apologize to you for lying at you in the hospital. I was in a very bad place.
No, sir, we understand. We understand. And I do appreciate you, helping us figure this out now. So that's in the past, so let's just focus on what we're doing now. How long have you known Curtis?
I've known him for years. I represented him. He knew my dad somehow for playing softball, and he came to my dad with a lawsuit, and I handled that case. So I would guess 10, 12.
Okay.
Years ago.
How often would y'all talk on the phone?
Very frequently.
Okay. And what would y'all talk about?
Getting pills.
Okay. And you would pay him money to get you pills, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How often would you pay him?
Frequently.
Okay. Well, I mean, once a week, twice a week?
It would vary sometimes, but it was several times a week.
How would you pay him?
In cash and mostly in checks, but in some cash too.
Okay, and what accounts would those checks come from?
The vast majority of them would come from the Bank of America account, but there would also be some funds that would come from the Palmetto State account.
And whose accounts are those?
Mine. The Bank of America accounts are in my name. And then there's another account there that I created that's a DBA. That's my name, DBA Forge. And then my checking account at Palmetto State Bank.
Okay, so there's two accounts at Bank of America?
Yes, sir.
The DBA and then your checking?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is the DBA?
Forge. F-O-R-G-E.
Thank you. Okay, and then the Palmetto is your, was the other checking account?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and who was he, so you were paying him the money, do you know who he was getting the drugs from?
Yes, sir.
No, what did he tell you where he's getting?
Oh, well, I was told that he got them from a black guy in Walterboro, and I was told that he had some connection in Buford, but yeah. I never...
Did they give you a name?
No, sir. I never saw those guys. I never dealt with those guys. So I don't know. That's what he told me.
Would you ever give anybody else money for drugs?
Yes, sir.
Who else did you give money?
I have given Kenny Hughes money.
Who's Kenny Hughes?
He's a guy that I called up and asked him if he knew of anybody that he could buy pills from.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I had a client that had issues and couldn't get them medically, and that, you know, I would pay him as well, but I called him up and asked him to do it.
All right, how much money do you think you gave him?
I have no idea.
Okay, did you write him a check or pay him cash?
Both.
Okay. Did you pay anybody else?
No, sir.
So it was just Curtis Smith and Kenny Hughes?
Yes, sir.
Sure about that? Think about it.
In the past, I have paid other people.
Okay, who are those other people?
I had a lady that worked at our house that, at our mom's house that...
And who's that?
Barbara Mixon. But that was on a very, very few occasions.
And did you pay her a cash and check, or how'd you pay her?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, that was on very limited occasions.
Okay. Is there anybody else?
Not that I can think of right now.
Okay. So the .38 revolver, it was your revolver?
Yes, sir.
Okay, where did you get that from?
It was at my mom's house.
When did you pick it up?
When I went up there that day.
Do you know where it is now?
No, sir.
So you gave the gun to Curtis, and you don't know what he did with it?
That's correct.
Has anybody in your family had any communications with Curtis recently?
I don't know why.
Well, because when we interviewed him, he said he had to talk to his attorney first, and he listed you. And then when we said that wasn't possible, he listed Randy. So we're just trying to figure out.
Randy's not going to represent him.
And let me say this, maybe...
Hold on, I got one more question. Does Randy have any knowledge of this?
Does Randy have any knowledge of what?
Of this attempted suicide / agreement with Curtis.
I have told I told both my brothers and my son.
When?
Very recently.
Yesterday.
When was it?
Yesterday. Yesterday. After we told them we're coming here so that he could tell you, he wanted them to hear from him first.
Okay, so Randy didn't have any knowledge last week, previously?
No.
Absolutely not. I lied to him, too.
Alec told me yesterday about 4:15, and then I sort of tipped John Marvin off, and then later on I learned that I talked to Alec, and he had called Buster, John Marvin, and Randy after I spoke with him at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
We didn't about to do that. We're trying to.
And before that, I told them the same lies that I told you.
Now, here's an important thing. Since the shooting, have you talked to the shooter?
Yes.
Okay, tell them about those calls.
I'm not sure. I was in the very beginning of my detox, and I could just see where I tried to call on the phone. I know I talked to him, but I don't have it.
You called him or he called you?
I called him.
Okay, but you don't remember what he said.
I don't.
Do you remember what you told him?
No, sir.
And this is when you were in the hospital in Savannah?
No, this is when I was in detox here.
Okay, so you've called him since you went, because you went to detox.
Let me ask you this. Agent Kelly, has the investigation revealed, as you testified before, that the defendant, like Murad, did call Eddie Smith, trying to use staff phones as well while he was at the hospital additionally in Savannah?
Yes. Mr. Murdoch was able to contact Mr. Smith while staying at the hospital in Savannah.
When? Monday night?
That's right.
Did you call him on the nurse's phone from the hospital? I heard that from.
But you know what? Randy did say I did that.
But you don't have a memory of that.
Randy said that I called him and then he was asking me. He did say I did that.
Oh. But you don't remember calling Curtis?
I don't, but I'll tell you from past experience that when withdrawals begin, you'll do just about anything to make them quit. And I probably was calling him for that purpose.
To get pills?
Probably.
All right, so you don't know where the gun is at?
No, sir.
But you last saw it in Curtis Smith's possession?
I gave it to him, yes, sir.
All right. The accounts that you were writing the checks to Curtis were Bank of America and Palmetto State Bank?
Yes, sir.
All right. And the funds, where were those funds coming from?
Well, that's maybe an area we don't want to talk about, but just let's say the bulk of them were not legitimately obtained.
Okay. And I'm not trying to be coy. It's just that, you know, Mr. Murdoch is independently wealthy, you know, so...
Not anymore.
Well,
not
I understand that, but, you know, I think it's a pertinent question. So if...
Yeah, no, look, he was independently wealthy, but there's a significant amount of money missing from clients in the law firm.
Okay. So the money came from ill-gotten gains? Is that what...
Some of it. I would say the majority of it. But some of it, I'm sure I use my own personal funds, too.
Okay.
I mean, I was buying so many.
All right, so just let me get this straight. So you entered into did you pay Curtis any money for this?
No, sir.
You didn't pay him anything, so you just asked of a favor, and he did.
Yes, sir.
Kill me. That's a great favor.
And so, and these checks that you were paying to Curtis, I mean, they were pretty significant, right?
Yes, sir.
But and when was the last time? I know, I'm not trying to get you to a... When was the last time you made a payment to Curtis? Was it before the shooting?
It would have been... not like right before the shooting, but
yeah.
It would have been several days.
Okay. Did you remember how much you paid him?
No, sir. I think the...
Was it better tax?
The last few times I paid him were all in check, and I was trying to, you know, see him as little as possible.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. Do you owe money to any drug dealers?
No, sir.
So there's not a threat out there that we need to worry about for Buster?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay, so the money that you were paying to Curtis to get money from his dealer or his supplier, you were paid in full in those payments. So there's no outstanding debt that we need to worry about.
No, sir.
Hey, Ryan, that's assuming that Curtis passed all the money along.
Well, no, I understand. I understand. And you know, we'll so, to the best of your knowledge, you don't owe anybody?
No, sir.
Okay. So the money that you paid him, you don't remember how much you paid him, but it was for pills, and you're saying that you didn't pay him at all for him to shoot you.
That's correct.
Now, I'm going to be honest, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I understand. understand.
And I know that, like, you know, whether you did or you didn't, it really doesn't have that much of a difference. So I'm not gonna, you know, but I appreciate your being forthcoming and you're making every attempt to be honest at this point. But so, you know, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So you did not make any financial payment to Curtis to have him shoot you?
No, I did not.
Okay, but you entered into a verbal agreement with him to set up a scheme where he would shoot you. It would be a suicide set up as a robbery, homicide, and you doing so was in order for your son to get your life insurance policy.
I don't know about a robbery, but everything else is true.
So let me say this to you. He's had this policy for 10 years. Suicide.
I've had a policy.
No, I understand that policies. I mean, what is the policy with? Where is it at?
I don't know where the actual policy is.
Okay. Did you intend to have that paperwork in the Mercedes, like the will and all that information? Was that left in there intentionally?
Well, I've been down to meet with some lawyers about some things, and it was in there from that day before. I can't call her name now. My Buster's girlfriend's employers, Kathy Olivetti.
Yeah, and you're meeting with them about why did you have wills?
Just getting things cleaned up. I've been down and met with them one time before, and
Ryan, there's a 2-year statutory ban on any suicide exclusion. In other words, if you've had the policy more than 2 years, you can commit suicide and still collect.
Yep. Okay.
So that's not... Now, what he thought really doesn't matter, but he may have thought that it would have been a problem.
Okay. But you still entered into an agreement, basically, to have him kill you so your son would then reap the insurance benefits. And
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You in? Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So, how did you get the knife? Was it your knife?
You know, I think that Eddie gave it to me. Curtis Eddie Smith gave it to me.
Okay. And then how did you make the tire flat?
I just stuck it.
So you punctured the tire with the knife?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Eddie gave you the knife. You took the knife and punctured the tire.
Correct.
And then what did you do with the knife?
Threw it.
Threw it where?
I believe across the road, but I'm not absolutely positive.
Okay, but you threw it. You disposed of it in the area of where the Mercedes was parked?
I think I threw it across the road from where it was parked.
Okay. Do you know if they disposed of the gun out there?
I do not know.
Okay. Is that gun registered to anybody?
Probably.
Probably to who?
Should have been. I believe that I purchased it, so I believe it would be registered to me.
You remember? Do you remember when you purchased it?
No, sir.
Where would you have purchased it? Yeah.
I got no idea.
Okay. You also have Curtis's phone number,
sir.
You have Curtis Eddie's phone number.
If y'all have them, we'd love to get them.
Yeah, it won't be my case.
Yeah, I got a cell number, 843-908-1534. And a home number at 843-538-1534.
4691.
All right. Alex, did you ever have any dealings with anybody else besides Eddie, any of his friends, family, girlfriend?
I mean, I knew who his girlfriend was, but I never had any dealings with her about him.
Who's his girlfriend?
A lady named Donna Eason. I don't know her very well, but I've just helped her with a couple of little legal issues over the years.
Okay.
But she never was involved in the exchange of pills or money.
Okay. Is there a property up in Hugie?
A property where?
In Hugie, up 41. Do you guys own any property up there?
Oh, yes, sir. And out of Charleston?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
There's a piece of property that I own with a bunch of other people that nobody else would pay. And so I've been paying for it, and he did some work up there digging some ditches.
Right. When did he do that?
He started within the last couple of months.
And that property, where's it at in Hugie?
It's off of United Road, United Drive.
Okay.
I think it's called Red Beard and Zero United Drive.
Hey, Ron, we're going to have to jump here in just a minute.
Okay.
Down here in just a minute.
All right. Alex, is there anything else that we're missing, that we're not asking you?
In regards to what? Not that I can think of, but, what are you thinking?
I'll just kind of leave that open-ended. Like I said, I'm not trying to get, I'm not involved in the other aspects of whatever other investigations, we're keeping those separate. So you communicated with Curtis, you would communicate with him over cell phone?
Yes.
Okay, how many phones do you have, Alex?
I had one phone. 1227 was my primary phone. And then,
I have to download that phone, Ryan, when SLED started focusing on Alex, said he's a target. We started doing our own work. So I took possession of that and sent it to a guy to download, and he had to get a separate phone, and that was that other number. And then y'all seized both of those, as okay. I understand.
All right, and then he's got a third phone that he got prior to going to the treatment center.
Yeah, from Walmart, burner phone.
Okay. What is his extended, what's your expected length of treatment there in Alpharetta?
Well, it's unclear right now, but he'll go from here into rehab at some point. We'll keep you posted.
Okay. So anytime you're, obviously this is, so you've identified Curtis Smith as the individual who shot you. And y'all entered into an agreement, so y'all kind of were hand in hand in this.
Very much so.
And he never tried to talk you out of it?
I don't know. No, sir. I don't think he did.
Okay. Did anybody know about this plan besides you and Curtis?
No.
Okay. All right.
If you're all about done, let me put this on the record. Alex, did you tell us the truth? I just want to make sure Ryan understands him and leading him on a very.
I did not tell anybody the truth until. Was it yesterday? Until yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
I've been really, really sick, and it's really the first day where I had any coherent thought process. And I sincerely apologize again for lying to y'all about everything that I did.
Yes, sir. And you have no idea where the gun is?
I do not.
Alex, you're right-handed, right?
I'm right-handed.
Okay, and you did not shoot yourself, correct?
I did not shoot myself.
Did you? Were there? And what was so? What was the plan for Curtis to follow you out there, and you would immobilize your vehicle? So did he stop to make it fly for you to give you the knife first? I mean, how did that play? Because, you know, you got the knife from Curtis. When did you get the knife from him?
I think I got it from him when I gave him the gun.
Okay, over in when you were at the Sunoco?
No, we didn't do it then. That's when.
Okay, when you pulled off the side of the road and saw that action?
Shortly after we made the turn onto Salcahatchie, we stopped and did a quick exchange.
Okay. So you stopped, pulled over the side of the road, stuck the tire. Where was Curtis at when you were disabling the tire?
I believe he was going past me.
Okay. So he turned around. And where were you at when you turned around?
I'm not sure. I mean, I would have been on the side of the road, I think.
Okay, so did you pull up, kind of like what you said, you know, just past your car?
That's basically the way I told you it happened is kind of how it happened, except it was arranged by me.
Okay, so as you turned around and turned your back to him, about how far do you think you were from the car?
I don't know, 4 or 5 feet.
Okay, 4 or 5 feet. And did you just stand there and wait for him to shoot you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how, I'm assuming he just fired once?
Yes, sir.
And then you fell to the ground or stumbled off?
I'm still not positive about that part, but I did lose my vision for about a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
Okay. And why didn't you? Why weren't you truthful with us when this initially happened?
I don't have a good reason. I was in a bad, bad, bad place.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, I know our time's cut short, but.
And Ryan, I'll call you from the car once we get out of here in just a couple minutes, and then I'll call you while we're driving back to the airport.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. So let's see. We'll finish this. We are finishing the recording with Richard Alec Murdaugh, his attorneys Dick Harpulian and Jim Griffin, and Special Agent Ryan Kelly, Special Agent Jomar Obeyalde. It is now 4:58. On Monday, September 13th. Thank you all, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Special Agent Kelly, is that a complete conversation that you had with Alec Murdaugh on September 13th, 2021?
Yes, it is.
Prior to that conversation, over the course of the 911 call, the ambulance, and multiple interviews at the hospital, did Alec Murdaugh ever mention or identify Curtis Edward Smith at all until his lies about the side of the road were exposed?
No.
Did Alec Murdaugh ever say that there was any risk or threat to Buster?
He said no. No, he did not. He actually denied it when we asked.
Did Alec Murdaugh say that Curtis Eddie Smith had anything to do with the murders of Moselle?
He denied it when we asked.
And is there any evidence that Curtis Edward Smith had anything to do with Moselle?
None whatsoever.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Here you go. That's the audio of Alec Murdaugh's full confession to murder-suicide, or his attempted murder-suicide scheme that didn't work out so well. I'm still curious as to how the helicopter team that flew him to the hospital saw his injuries and said, you don't need a helicopter. That's, you just got grazed. But they did. That's the latest that we got for you. What are your thoughts on all this? You can call us toll free and give us your feedback. We may even use it on a future episode. Our phone number, 888-554-5537. That's 888-554-5537 to share your thoughts on this. Until next time, be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.